Morning. Today's Afnidas Lamed Daled. We are Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, and we're starting this morning at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to continue its discussion here in the fourth parak regarding various secretions that are coming out of the body. Most of our secretions that we're talking about is dam. And the first sugya that we did, that we covered the last two dapim, were regarding Benos Kusim. We talked about the daughters of Kusim. Our Mishnah now is going to be discussing the Benos Tzedukim, the daughters of Tzedukim. Okay, what's the difference between a Kusim and a Tzeduki? Well, let's again, I give an introduction to the history of the Kusim. So a really brief introduction to the history of the Tzedukim. Tzedukim are a sectarian group. So they're a group of Jews that abandoned the Torah Shabbat Peh. And they just stuck with Torah Shebichtav. When did this happen? So sometime during Bayis Sheni. We know the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us about the Mesorah. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos really does a very rough sketch in terms of from Moshe Rabbeinu up until the Chorban Bayis Rishon and the beginning of Bayis Sheni. But once we start with Bayis Sheni, so then the Mesorah expands a little bit. And so one of the earlier of the Tanaim, earliest of the Tanaim, is Antignus Ish Socho. You'll see him in the beginning of Pirkei Avos. So he was during the tkufa of the second Beis HaMikdash, the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, and he had a number of Talmidim, and one of his Talmuds is Tzaddok, and another one is Baitus. And these Talmidim went off the Derech, right? Possibly having to do with something that was said by Antignus Ish Socho. I'm sure that's part of it, not all of it, but anyway. So they went off the derech, and by going off the derech, they abandoned Torah Shabbat Peh. And so therefore, Tzaddok and Baitos, each one started their own sectarian group, right? I can't be part of somebody else's sectarian group. I got on my own sectarian group. So the Baitos started the Baitusim, and Tzaddok started the Tzedukim. And these sectarian groups, so they were not Mekabel, Torah Shabbat Peh. And they obviously they didn't transmit that Mesorah. So as a result of that, so even though the history is a little bit different than that of the Kusim go all the way back to Bayis Rishon. This started in Bayis Sheni. But the point is still basically the same point, and that is that once you're no longer Mekabel Torah Shabbat Peh, so that means to say that you have the Torah, and you're interpreting the Torah the way you feel that the Torah should be interpreted. And a woman discharges, and regardless of what she discharges, that's going to be tummy. The woman's going to be tummy. Now, as we already pointed out yesterday, doesn't that create chumras, not kulas? No, not necessarily. It can create a tremendous kula. Because as we described yesterday, it's the same scenario that we described yesterday. What happens is that she discharges a yellow discharge. We know that's not tamea. She's not an Ida. But they don't know that. They're not Mekabel Torah Shabbat Peh. So they're going to call her an Ida. They're going to start her Yemei Nida as that is day one. Then 4 days later, she'll actually have Dam Tameh. They'll say, okay, that's a Hamshacha. That's just a continuation. And they'll just simply say that she's got another 3 more days to go. And that's it. And then she'll tov on the mikvah. They think she is now Tahora. We think. We have a Mesorah. We know that she is not Tahora. She's still an Ida. So obviously this creates tremendous problems, just like we described regarding the Benos Kusim. The Benos Tzedukim, Bezman Shenagulachas Bedarch Evesem Harehein Kekusios. So if they're following their Mesorah, meaning their distorted Mesorah of not accepting Torah Shabbat Peh, so then we're going to be treating them like a Kusi, basically go back to the beginning of the Perek. And Pirshu Lalechas Bedarchi Yisrael, however, they don't have to follow their fathers. They could follow the Mesorah. And if they do so, Pirshu Lalechas Bedarchi Yisrael, Harein Ki Yisraeli, so then they're going to be treated like Jewish women, like regular Jewish women. And Rabbi Yossi Omer La'olam Hein Ki Yisraeli, Sachi Yifrshu Lalechas Bedarchi Avosehem. And Rabbi Yossi says, you know what we're going to have? We're going to have a Cheskes Kashros. We're going to assume that they're going to be following Bedarche Yisrael unless we know otherwise. Okay. So Rabbi Yossi is clearly arguing with the Tanakhama, and we can already guess. The truth of the matter is I know the Gemara is going to have a small discussion about this. We can already guess what the Chachamim's position is. Meaning if Rabbi Yossi says that they have a Cheskes Kashros, so then the Chachamim probably are going to say they don't have a Cheskes Kashros. But the Gemara is going to spell that out. The Gemara is going to iron that out. But meantime, however, we have a general debate regarding what is the presumed status of Benos Tzedukim. Ibai Lahu. The Gemara starts off with the discussion, Samamai. According to the Tanakhama, we introduce ourselves to a Bas Tzeduki for the first time. And we don't know. Is she following her? Is she like her parents? Is she holding by the Mesorah Yisrael? Which way is she going? So, Stama ki Israeli say, I'm sorry, Ibalu, Stama mai, Tashma, the Gemara says, well, let's take a look at our Mishnah. And right now, we're not contrasting yet the Tanakhama to Rabbi Yossi. That's coming up in just a moment. Right now, we're just looking at the words of the Mishnah. So, if they follow Darche Avoseim, so then they're going to be treated like a Kusi. Hastama ki Israeli. So the Gemara says, okay, inferred from that, implied from that, is that the Stam, the without knowledge, the default setting is, they're like Israel. So the Gemara says, okay, but just keep reading in the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, but if they follow Darchi Israel, so they're going to be treated like Israelis. Hastama kukusio. So that means the default setting is that they're like a kusi. Or, in this context, like a tzeduki. So the Gemara says, fine. From the Lashon of the Mishnah, the Lashon of the Tanakhama, we don't know what the default setting is, but the Gemara says, okay, that's true, but then why don't we compare it to Rabbi Yossi? And this is a dead giveaway. Tashma, didan Rabbi Yossi, Omer la'olam, henki Yisraelis, adche yifreshu laleches bedarchei avoseihem. Good. So Rabbi Yossi says that the default is that they're going to be like Yisraelis, meaning, mechlal to Tanakhama Savar, stamak kukusios. Okay, good. So that means that the obviously is a machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi, and the Nekuda machlokus has to be surrounding whether or not what their generic setting is going to be. Are they going to be considered like Stam, a Tzeduki, or in the same status of a Kusi, or no? Are they going to be like a Yisrael? That's a machlok. Shema mina. So the Gemara says that is a good way to look at the Mishnah. That's a correct way to look at the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan Maisa Betzduki Echad Shesiperim Kohen Gadol Bishok. So there was a conversation that took place between a Tzeduki and the Kohen Gadol. And what happened was is that as they were conversing, so a little bit of spittle went from the mouth of the Tzeduki onto the Kohen Gadol. Now, when we say onto the Kohen Gadol, so the the Kohen Gadol abegadav v'horiku panav shel Kohen Gadol, and the face of the Kohen Gadol became pale. Rashi writes over here, Vahoriko Panav. So, Charalo Shinitmu Begadov. So, he was upset. He was really angry. Because now what happened is that as the spit now got onto his clothing is tummy. Vikim Kohen Gadol Eitzel Ishto Shel Tzeduki. And Rashi goes on to write. Now, the Gemara is not going to be super clear about this point. And the way Rashi understands it is that now in the interview that occurs over here is between the Kohen Gadol and the wife of the Tzeduki. And he's going to ask him. I'm sorry. Thank you. So he's going to ask her the some very specific and detailed questions. So the kidem etzel ishto, and he goes to his wife. That's a lot of pronouns, but we're going to fill in the pronouns according to Rashi, and not everyone agrees with Rashi. Tosfos does not, but according to Rashi, the way we're going to fill it in is that the Kohen Gadol went to ask the wife of the tzuki the following: Amar lo afa pi she nishet tzedukin hein mityaret min aprushim. And so she says, look, I know my husband's a tzeduki, right? I know. But I'm just telling you that he follows the Masorah. And any dam, so he goes to the Chachma Yisrael and he asks them about the dam. So you're worried about the fact that I may be a Nida and he may have slept with a Nida. It's not the case over here. I'm telling you, vis-a-vis Marez, we show them to Chachma Yisrael. So Amr Yisrael bekim anu bahen yoser min hakol. And Rav Yossi says, this is always the case, meaning any single time you have a relationship, husband and wife, and they are quote-unquote tzedukim, as far as the dam is concerned, they always show the dam over to the kohanim, and they are always in a position where they're not going to be nidos, she's not going to be nida, he's not going to be a bol nida, and there's one exception, it's anecdotal. She didn't show her maris to the chachamim, and the Akash Baruch Hu took immediate action. She died. Outside of that, Rabbi Yossi says the norm is that they show it to Chachmei Yisrael. And of course, by the way, this is Rabbi Yossi being consistent with his position in the Mishnah that the default setting of the tzedukim vis-a-vis this particular halacha is that they're treated like a Yisraelis. Okay, now what happened over here is that the Kohen Gadol in the incident, the Kohen Gadol was worried because the spit of the Tzeduki now landed on his clothing. Now, in terms of Tumah Tahara, what was he concerned about? that he was with his wife was a Nida, and he therefore is a Boel Nida. That was his concern, the concern of the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara now wants to know, just a follow-up question to the incident. Okay, so, and he wasn't a Boel Nida, meaning that was already established. The Gemara now asks, V'tepele mishim tzinor da'am ha'aretz. Okay, but look, this Tzeduki, he's an Am Ha'aretz, isn't he? And as a result of that, what do we know regarding Am Ha'aretz? Am Ha'aretz are not careful about Tumat Tahara. So therefore, they're always in a presumed state of being Tamei. And so therefore, just by virtue of the fact that he's an Am Ha'aretz, that in of itself should create a Tumma. And so why is the Kohen Gadol only worried about maybe he was Bol Nida? Am Rabbi B'Tzduki Chavir. So Abai says, well, maybe the scenario over here is that the Tzduki in this particular case was a Tamei Chacham. Am Rabbi B'Tzduki Chavir Bol Nida Mashvislein. Rava says that's not tenable. Just simply, that's not the case. How could it be? How could it be that you're a Tzduki who's an Am Ha'aretz, Tzduki Chavir, and meanwhile the suspicion is, well, he's with his wife who's a Nida. Okay, so the Gemara says, El Am Ha'aretz, so the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to say like this, Regal Hava, V'tumas Am Ha'aretz B'Regal Kitar Shavi Rabban, and Dichziv, V'yasof Kol Ish Yisrael Al-Ir Ki Ish Echad Chaveirim, HaKasav Asim Kulam Chaveirim. The pasuk in Shoftim describes, this is after the episode of Pelegish Begiva, without going into the details of the Navi, the idea is that whenever there's an assembly of the Jewish people, like Aliyah L'Regel, where there's an assembly of Jewish people, so yes, generally speaking, there's a Gzera D'Rabbanan that an Am Ha'aretz, who is not careful about Tumat Tahara, is going to, by D'Rabbanan, by decree D'Rabbanan, by rabbinic decree, is going to be Tumat. That's true. But when we all get together, like Aliyah L'Regel, or for that matter, Rashi sounds like it's any kind of asifa, any kind of get-together. So kulam chaverim, everyone's a chaver, meaning the chachamim remove the ban or temporarily rescinded the ban of tuma on Ame Ha'aretz. It's going to be much easier for everyone to get along if we don't treat the Ame Ha'aretz with exeris tuma. And so therefore, that's the scenario over here. That's why the Kohen Gadol in question was not concerned about tumas Am Ha'aretz. And so therefore, the only thing left to be concerned about was maybe he was Bola's wife when she was Anida. Okay. Okay, Adkan. That takes us to the end of the first sugya today. So our Mishnah so far have discussed the Dam of a Kusi. The Mishnah discussed the Dam of its Duki. Right? So far, these particular groups are Jewish. And yes, we're going to repeat what I said in the beginning of the parak. The Kusim, from the Mishnah standpoint, are considered Geri Emes, not Geri Arayos. Again, a very controversial point. The Gemara lands on the idea that they are Geri Arayos, not Geri Emes. But in the discussion of our Mishnah and our Sugya, they're considered to be Geri Emes. The Tzedukim, they're obviously Jewish. Meaning the only thing with the Tzedukim is just that they have a distorted view of the Torah. But they're obviously Jewish. And so with that now in mind, so we did Dam Kusim, we did Dam Tzedukim. Who do you think is next on the list? So we are now up to the Ovei Kochavim. Okay, now, a number of introductory points before we start with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going to be talking about a lot of various secretions. Mostly we're going to be talking about Dam, but we're also going to be talking about other secretions as well. Okay, so it bears in mind a number of basic points that we're going to go through in order to understand and facilitate the understanding of this Mishnah. Number one. Obviously, a goy is not mekabel tuma. A goy is not mekabel tuma. A goy is not an avatuma. There's no tuma that comes from a goy. The idea of tuma tahara is limited to Bnei Yisrael and not to goyim. And so, therefore, min haTorah. So we do not have this idea as it relate of tuma as it relates to goyim. That's obviously point number one. That is the general. That's the general outline that really frames our entire discussion. Next, despite the fact that they are not going to be Tamei, nevertheless, the Chachamim wanted there to be distance between us and the Goyim. And they did so in many different ways. The Masechta Avodah Zarah, remember, there were the Mishnayos and towards the beginning of the second Perek, goes through a number of different ways to create separation between us and the Goyim. Bishul Akum, right, Stam Yenam, etc., etc. So there are various ways, instruments in which the Chachamim want to make sure that we have a relationship, but it's a healthy relationship in that there's space that's created between us and them. So another way to facilitate that kind of distance and pirud is going to be where a tuma de rabbanan is going to be placed on the goyim, and a tuma de rabbanan, notably, the secretions that come out. And we're going to be very specific about which secretions come out. Okay, that is all but point number one, just as a basic introduction. Number two, when we're talking about various secretions that come out of the body, so I'm going to break it up into basically three different types of secretions, and let's discuss all three just as a introduction, just as a broad overview. Number one, we'll talk about the blood that comes out of a nida or a zava or yoledes. So blood that comes out of a nida, zava, and yoledes is an avatama. I'm talking about not her, I'm talking about the actual blood itself. So the blood that comes out is an avatama. That's number one. Number two, it's metame b'magav amasa. You touch the blood or you carry the blood, so you're going to become tame. So it's going to transmit its tama both through carrying and through contact and through carrying. And number three is that the blood that comes out of a nida or a zava or yoledes is metame lach v'yavish. It will be metame both in a liquid state and in a solid state as well. In other words, if the dam dried up and then turned into a mass, into a solid mass, still it's going to be an avatama. So that is regarding the blood of a nida, zava, and a yoledes. Let's now turn our attention to a zav, that's a male, who has a discharge, a zivus discharge. So the zivus discharge, the zivus is an avatama, and by the zivus, it's metame lach, but not yavesh. So if the actual discharge itself were to dehydrate and turn into a solid mass, it's not going to be an avatama. And finally, one more thing to describe in terms of a secretion, and that is mayanos. Now, what are mayanos? So mayanos are secretions. So it's the generic term to describe various discharges that come out. But obviously, it's not referencing the blood. So what falls under the category of mayanos? So we're talking about the spit. We're talking about the urine. Mayanos of a zav is also an avatama, and it too is only going to be metame lach velo yavesh, only when it's in liquid form but not in solid form. So of the various secretions that come out, and by the way, an important point I'll say over here is that dam is not a mayan. Why is dam not a mayan? Dam is not a mayan because the nature of mayan, the Gemara is going to say this, it's mit agav yotze. In order for a mayan to be considered a mayan, it has to first gather in an interior location, and then it has to come out. I know you could look at the dam and say it does gather in interior location, it gathers in the uterus, and then it comes out, but that's not the way the Gemara looks at it. Dam is not viewed as a ma'ayan per se. Obviously, as we already described, it's a source of tum, it's an avatumah, but it's not a ma'ayan. So ma'ayan, like urine, like spit, so those are ma'ayanos, and it's an avatumah, it's metame, lach velo yavish. Okay, these are the basics in terms of just, first, even before starting the Mishnah, good information to really get down really well. With all that stated, here we go. We're going to begin our Mishnah. Most of our time today is going to be spent on just a basic understanding of the Mishnah. A lot of information. Dam avodas kochavim. So the Mishnah over here talks about the blood coming out of a guy. And dam tahara shel mitzara. And tahor blood coming out of a mitzara. When we say tahor blood coming out of the mitzara, what do we mean by that? So the simplest way to understand the Mishnah is that, as we know, in order for dam to be considered a dam tmeya, so it has to be red. If it's any other color, if it's yellow or any other color, so it's not going to be tamei, but rather it's going to be tahor. It's unusual that we call it dam, but this is not the first time in the Masechta we did that. We did that earlier in the Masechta as well, that the other secretions that come out, even though it's yellow or it's whatever other color it is, so it goes by the name dam. So we're talking about now the dam tahora of a mitzara. So we are now lumping these two together, even though, as we're going to be clear in just a moment, they're not the same. But nevertheless, the Mishnah here is to tell us that Beit Shammai Mitzara and Beit Hillel Omrim Karoka Chamei Rein Reglaham. So it's a machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel how to view the dam of a guy and the dam tara of a mitzara. Beit Shammai says it's tara lagamri, and Beit Hillel says it's going to be treated like her spit and like her urine. Okay, let's pause over here in the Mishnah. Let's gain better understanding of what are the issues. Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi, the first Rashi of the Mishnah, Beishamim Matarim, Bedam Avos Kochavim Afagav De Baroka V'Meimei Regla Modur Chachamim Gazru Aleim Lios Kizavim Lechol Devreim Afilo Hachi Dama Tahor. So Rashi says as follows: when it comes to a guy and the blood that comes out of a guy, the blood of a woman coming out of the Nachriya, so according to Beishamim, it's Tar Legamre. Even though Beishamim admits, he agrees that her spit and her urine are going to be a source of tamei mid derabanan, but Beit Shammai says regarding her dam, the dam is tar legamrei. The next Rashi, I'm going to skip for just a moment, and because I just want to contrast now Beit Shammai to Beit Hillel. skip over one more Rashi. Beis Hillel Amrim Karoka Chamei Mei Raglesha Matamim Lachim Matamim Yevesha. Now Beis Hillel says that the dam of a Nachriya is going to be Matamei Lach but not Yavesh. Now Rashi goes on to say, oh, I'm sorry, and we know that because Beis Hillel compares it to her Mayanos. And the Mayanos are only Matamei Lach but not Yavesh. Rashi here continues. Now, as far as the dam of a nachriya, why should that be? That her dam is what's the machlokes here between Bisham and Bisal? So Rashi goes on to explain. She kuzam l'chol divrayim v'hache keruhu David ba the ilu the Israelis matame lach v'yavesh. Okay, so Rashi over here explains. Look, here's what the Chachamim wanted to do. On one hand, the starting point is they wanted there to be distance between a Jew and a non-Jew. And so therefore they slapped a Tumah Derabanan on the non-Jew. That's number one. Number two, however, they want us to know that this Tumah is not a Tumah Deraisa, but rather it's a Tumah Derabanan. So what are they going to do? And we've seen this before. What they do is that they create an anomaly within the Tumah Derabanan so that when we're looking at it, we're saying, oh, wait, that's a little strange. It's a little different. Right, because it's only a Tumah Derabanan, not a Tumah Deraisa. Why is it so important for them, for us to know whether it's Tumah Derabanan versus Tumah Deraisa? So you're going to see Rashi keep saying this again and again, because if they come into contact with Truma, we're not going to burn the Truma. We will obviously not eat the truma because it's Tumah Derabanan. We're not going to burn the truma. Okay, that's the big payoff to knowing that it's only Tumah Derabanan. So now the debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is what kind of hecker, what kind of anomaly did the Chachamim put in their Tumah Derabanan so that it becomes recognizable? So now the next part of the Rashi deals with the Dam Tara of the Mitzorah, but as we're going to learn together, that's a different issue. Okay. Now let's on point number one of our Mishnah, the 3 points of the Mishnah, in terms of the dam coming out of a Ovedes Kochavim. So the it is a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that's Torah Lagamre, and Beis Hillel says no, it's not Torah Lagamre. It's only going to be Matame Lach but not Yavesh, which is not normal because dam normally is Matame both Lach and Yavesh. And so what the Chachamim did is they only made it Mitame Lach, but not Yavesh. That is the machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And what is at issue over here is they both agree that there's a Tumah Derabanan. It's just a question of how much of a hecker do we need. Beis Hillel says that the hecker is going to be the Tamas Tara Legamre, and therefore the Mayanos are going to be a source of Tumah. The spit and the urine of a non-Jew are going to be a source of Tumah. But the Dam, no, just simply because it is left off as a hecker. And Beis Hillel says it's enough of a hecker that the dam is going to be metame lach but not yavesh. That is issue number one of the Mishnah. Now let's move on to issue number two of the Mishnah. The dam tahor of a mitzaras. Now, everyone's flipped the switch because now we're talking about mitzaras. Obviously, that means we're talking about a Jew. We're not talking about a non-Jew. What's the issue over here? Even though it's in halacha, the same achlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai says it's tar lagamri. And Beis Hillel says that's tame like a mayan. But over here, the issue obviously has to be a different issue because we're talking about a Jew, not a non-Jew. So let's go back to Rashi and let's see the Rashi inside. Rashi writes, "V'dam tarah shel mitzaras." I'm going to the second Rashi of the Mishnah. "V'afagav demayanos mitzaras kigon roka meimiragla haveyava tumah kedamar ba'man peles." So Rashi says, "Remember what we saw just a couple of days ago in the Daf regarding mayanos of a mitzara. We had a drasha. We're going to say it again later this morning." The drasha teaches us that the mayan of a mitzara is going to be an avatuma. Lazach l'rabas mitzara shemayanosav tameim kishelzav dichsiv be v'chi arok hazav b'tahor afilo hachi dam tahor shala tahor. So Rashi points out over here that even though we've established that the mayan of a mitzara is going to be an avatuma, but not the blood. Isn't the blood a mayan? So again, go back to my introduction. Blood is not a mayan, and Rashi here says a beferish. De lav mayan hu, de yumi adarok be'inan. Shemit agav ayotze, kedamina beperik beis, gabi dama yarok. So, no, because the definition of a mayan is mit agav ayotze. Blood is not mit agav ayotze, and therefore it is not to be treated like a mayan. And so therefore, the dam tahor of a mitzora. So is it a mayan? No. Is it dam? Well, it's dam tahor. So meaning, so from the standpoint of dam, it's not going to be a source of tumah. So based shamai removes it totally from being a source of tumah. Fine.
Sure.
And what, give me a moment. And what about Beis Hillel? What's Beis Hillel's position? So now go to the next Rashi. Skip in the next Rashi to the last four lines of the Rashi. V'dam tar shamitzar is nami afagav v'dam lav mayanu din ma'ayan islay derachman rabbi akadam rabbi gemara. And Beis Hillel will just simply argue that I agree on your premise that the dam of the dam tar of a mitzar is not a mayan. I agree with that, but we have a ribui. We're going to see it together in the Gemara. Beis Hillel just simply says that there's a ribui akra that tells us that the dam tar of a mitzara, even though it's not a mayan, definitionally it's not a mayan, nevertheless it's going to be an avatama. Okay, that was now explaining points 1 and 2 of the Mishnah.
If mitzara is supposed to be in seclusion, how do you get in contact with any kind of secretion of blood?
I mean, he's not, I understand he's sequestered, but still, it's possible that someone's going to come into contact with it. And the Gemara over here is dealing with just the basic halacha. And you're asking from a pragmatic standpoint. But first, we're establishing the halacha. Okay, number 3 in the Mishnah. Okay, dam hayoledes, shelo tavla. Okay, and our third issue over here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is regarding a woman who has given birth and she didn't tovel. When is she supposed to tovel? So going from after having a boy, day 7 to day 8. After having a girl, from day 14 to day 15. So there's a tefillah requirement. Remember, not so long ago, just 4 days ago, we also had a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel whether she's also supposed to do a tefillah at the end of her malos, on day 40 for after a boy and day 80 after a girl. But right now we're just talking about the tefillah that needs to be done between her Yemei Tum and Yemei Tahara. So dam hayolah shelo tavla, so she didn't tovel in the mikvah, and now the dam is coming out. And now she's during her Yemei Tahara, but she didn't tovel in the mikvah. Beis Shammai armim karoka chamei mei ragleha. So here too, the machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And here too, Beis Shammai is going to be more mekel than Beis Hillel. But over here, even as Beis Shammai is mekel, he's still going to move it up a notch. What is the status of that dam? It's going to be treated like roken mei ragla, i.e. it's going to be like a mayan. And again, go back to the intro. What is a mayan? A mayan is tamei lach, but not yavesh. And Beis Hillel armim tamei lach v'yavesh. And Beis Hillel says no. The dam of a yoledes who did not tovel in the mikvah between day 7 and 8, or between day 14, day 15, it is going to be a avatuma, both lach and yavesh. What is the machlokis over there? Once again, let's go back to Rashi. Rashi writes over here, dam yoledes, she avru yemei tuma leida velo tavla. Okay, like I said, right, the day 7 passed by after a boy, and she didn't tovel in the mikvah. She should have. Veisham ha'am karoka chamei mei ragleha, Metame lach v'ne metame yavish v'achitani la behedje betosefta the edios the nida kozman shelo tavla harehi benida sala chod v'ra hilka chroka me me regla betomasam l'kam and berik tama nida yafina me cry dein rok shelzav metame yavish. Okay, Rashi over here, I know I read that quickly. Rashi over here is just going through the basics that we went through in the introduction to the Mishnah, that the blood is metame lach and yavish. But the roke, or any of the mayanos, is only metame lach menat yavish. Now Rashi goes on. I'm going to slow down now in Rashi. Vidama nami, af agav didam tarahu, lebe shamai, kedam rabbi gemara, debi yumetal yarechmana, vahamalu, look, as far as the dam is concerned, she's past day number 7. And so therefore, the dam itself is dam tahor. Meaning, it's not the tvila that's transitioning between her dam tami to dam tahor, be yumetalya. It's all a function of the days. And now she's on day 8. But what about the fact that blood now is a mayan? Okay, so what? It's not a mayan, as we already established. So again now, so mi'ikar hadin, the blood that's coming out after day number 7 is really dam tahor. But the chacham said, but she didn't tovel in the mikvah. And so therefore, as a knas for not toveling in the mikvah, so the chachamim were go there. And they therefore said that the blood is going to be tameh. So because we're concerned, la'achar tvila atu, I'm sorry, la'achar zayin, b'soch zayin. And Rashi says, so if we're going to make a gzera, why not simply say that the blood is tamei like blood, i.e. lach v'yavish? And again, it's the same idea over here, says Rashi. What Beis Shammai wanted to do is create an anomaly in the tuma so that people realize that this is a tuma d'rabanan, not a tuma d'araisa, and again, say that you don't burn truma and kachim. And then, what is Beis Hillel's position going to be? Meaning, Beis Hillel says that she is tahor, that the tuma is tamei legamrei. Skip to the next Rashi. Beis Hillel omrim matamei lach v'yavish de tumasan hein min haTorah. So here Beis Hillel is going to be arguing on a very fundamental point, which is that Beis Hillel says that the transition to go from Dam Tamei to Dam Tahor actually has two requirements. There are two prerequisites in order for her to become Tahor. One is the Yom, and two is also going to be Tvila B'Mikvah. So only when she does both is she going to be Tahor, and if only one occurs and not the other, she's still min haTorah, going to be an avatuma, and the blood is going to be tummy. Okay. As I already mentioned, most of our time is going to be spent today with the Mishnah, as the Mishnah has a lot of information. The complication of the Mishnah is that the Mishnah dealt with three different issues, which are machlokes in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and even though linguistically it comes out the same, actually number three is not the same as one and two, but nevertheless, the issues for each one of the three is going to be a different issue. At the end, right when we're going to run through the Gemara, but at the end, I'll come back and I'll quickly summarize all three points of the Mishnah. We are back on the first topic of our Mishnah, and we're talking about the Dam of Avodas Kochavim. V'leisla Beis Shammai, the Gemara says, I don't understand. Beis Shammai says, the Dam of Avodas Kochavim is Tar Lagamre. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Where's the starting point? Doesn't he hold to the following? Good. So, starting point, I know I said this in the intro to the Mishnah, but here we go. The starting point is that there is no tuma and tahara when it comes to a nachriya. Okay. Nachriya and nachriya. However, the chachamim made a gzera, v'agazru aleim, shiyuka zavim l'chol divrayim. So, but the chachamim made a gzera that they're going to be like a zav. And the reason why the Chachamim made Gzeras is so that there be separation and distance. I'm going to show you a Rashi. Look at the first Rashi in the Gemara. Rashi writes, Gazra Alem Shiyu Kazam L'chol Devrahem, Mishum Shalo Yetinok Yisrael Ruggle Etzlo B'Mishkav Zachor. So not only is it a question of making sure that there's separation, but also it's protecting our children, right? They're engaged in Mishkav Zachor and to protect their children. So therefore, the Chachamim cast a Tumah D'Rabbanan on the Goyim in large. Okay. Now, the Gemara wants to know, so Beit Shammai says that the dam coming out of an Ovedes Kochavim is Tahor. Why? How could that be? In other words, didn't the Chachamim slap a Din D'Rabbanan, a Tumah D'Rabbanan? So I'm Lecha Beit Shammai, so Beit Shammai will tell you the following. So Beit Shammai says, here's the dilemma that we're facing. The dam coming out of Ovedes Kochavim, if we say that we're going to treat it like dam with the full Tumah of Lach V'Yavesh, people are going to think, oh, it's a real tumah. So litame lach v'lo litame yavesh. And then what are we going to do? We're going to separate. Well, we're going to say that the blood of an avodas kochavim is only litame lach, but not yavesh. Chilak de b'shol Torah. People are going to get very confused. People are going to think, oh, I see. So when it comes to dam nida, so it's only litame lach and not yavesh. So ihachi. So I'm sorry. So Beit Shammai says, look, we want to create a heker within the tumah d'rabbanan. So therefore, what we did is we create an exclusion. An exclusion for the dam. The dam of Avodas Kochavim is simply not tamei because we want to create an anomaly within the Tumah D'Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, why don't you do the same thing for the Mayanos? The Gemara's answer, so the Gemara says, no, mission accomplished. Meaning, once we created an exclusion that the dam of Avodas Kochavim is Tahor Lagamrei, and we keep the Mayanos as a source of tuma. So now everyone understands, right? They're looking at the tuma d'rabbanan on a guy, right? The spit, the urine is tummy midrabbanan. The dam tahor. What? That's weird. Oh, right, exactly. Meaning that's exactly the point of the chachamim. So this anomaly is created so that people understand that it is only tuma d'rabbanan, not tuma d'raisa. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's try to understand this a little bit better. Look, we understand now that from Beit Shammai's standpoint, we want to create an exception, right? Something strange and bizarre about their tumah. So why not exclude the Mayanos and include the Dam? So the Gemara says, Roko Mimiragla, Dishchicha Gazrebe Rabbanan, Damadlo Shchicha Lo Gazrebe Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, but look, when the Chachamim are going to make a Gzera, they're going to look at what is the more common secretions that come out. Spit and urine, so they are regular secretions that come out of the body all the time. Dam, not as frequently. So if the Chachamim are going to be Gozer a Dinder Rabbanan, and the whole point of the Gzera is to create separation, so they're going to choose something which is much more common, i.e. the spit and the urine, and not the Dam. Okay. All this is an explanation of Beis Shammai. Amar Rava, and by the way, now, I mean, we've gone through the Rashi, so we're just filling in the blank. And what's Beis Hillel going to say? Beis Hillel is fundamentally agreeing with everything that Beis Shammai says, but from Beis Hillel's standpoint, the exclusion, the anomaly that's created in the Tumah, is that the Dam is Metame Lach, but not Yavesh, which is not the normal halacha. Normally, Dam is Metame Lach V'Yavesh. And so Beis Hillel will tell you that anomaly is created and that the Dam is only Metame Lach, but not Yavesh. Okay. That is the first issue as explained by the Gemara. Amar Rav Zovah Tamei Afila Beis Shammai, Kirutar Afila Beis Hillel. Okay. So far, which secretions that we have covered when it comes to a Avodas Kochavim? We talked about her Dam. We talked about her Mayanos. Now, Rav says there's a couple of secretions that have been unexplored by the Mishnah, and Rava posits the following. When it comes to the Zav discharge of a male Ove Kochavim, so that is going to be Tameh, even according to Beis Shammai. And the Kirio, the seminal discharge of a male Ove Kochavim, that's going to be Tahor, Afilu LeBeis Hillel, even according to Beis Hillel. And the Gemara explains. So as far as the Zav being Tahor, sorry, let me say it better and correctly. As far as the Zav being Tameh, even according to Beis Shammai, why should that be? Because again, what is Beis Shammai's major consideration? There has to be something unique and odd within the Tumah so that everyone understands it's only Tumah Darabanan, not a Tumah Daraisa. So by the male discharges, we have it. Meaning the Balkari. Since the Balkari discharge of a Ovi Kochavim is Tahor, so now we have an exception already created. So therefore, the Zav discharge is going to be Tameh. Kiryot Tahor Afilo Beis Hillel Avod Beirabanan Ekeri Keechadol Alisra Fala Truma V'Kachim. So the Gemara says, and as far as Beis Hillel is concerned, so the Balkari discharge of a non-Jew is going to be Tahor because a Hecker needs to be created. Again, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that there needs to be a Hecker, and so by the male, the Hecker is going to be created by the Keri discharge being Tahor, the Zav discharge being Tameh. Gemara asked the question, look, we understand what the goal is, that there should be something strange and unique. And so therefore, the balance is that the Zav discharge is Tameh, that is the, and the Keri discharge is Tahor. So, but why not say the opposite? Answers the Gemara, Zova de lo tale b'maisei gazru ve rabbanan. Kirio de tale b'maisei lo gazru ve rabbanan. So the Gemara says the difference is as follows. When it comes to Zav, so there, the Zav is a discharge that was not stimulated. There was no external stimulant in order to bring about that discharge. And so therefore the Chachamim, dynamic Gzera, but the Chachamim did make a Gzera. But when it comes to the Kri discharge, which is b'maisa tali, so you need an external stimulation in order for the zera to come out. So therefore, the chachamim did not make a zera for that. Okay. So what do we have right now? We have a machlokus b'shem Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the secretions of an ovedes kochavim, the woman, the non-Jewish woman, in terms of the mayanos. Everyone's in agreement is going to be tameh, lach but not yavesh. As far as the dam is concerned of a non-Jewish woman, so machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they both agree that an exception has to be made, an anomaly has to be made, and the only point of disagreement is how much of an anomaly needs to be made. According to Beis Shammai, it's tahor legamrei. According to Beis Hillel, it's tameh lach but not yavesh. Then Rava's additional point is that when it comes to the male secretions of a non-Jew, so everyone agrees, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that the Zav discharge is Tameh, and everyone agrees, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that the Keri discharge is Tahar. Okay, on this, Lema Misayele, the Gemara wants to now bring a support to this idea from the following Mishnah. Mishnah Mikvah, Avodas Kochavim, Shepalta Shech V'Zer Mi'Yisrael. So let's say you have a non-Jewish woman, and Zerah was inserted to her by a Jewish man. And obviously, that was an improper conduct. But we're past the improper conduct. We're just looking at it from a Tumah Tahara standpoint. So, the Zerah that comes out of her, so Tameah, yes. So that Zerah is going to be now a source of Tumah. Ubasi Sol Shepalta Shifra Zerah Mina Ove Kochavim Tahara. And if we inverted the scenario where it's a Jewish woman that has Zerah of a non-Jew, so that Zerah of a non-Jew that comes out is going to be Tahara. Now this goes back to an issue which we discussed just yesterday, in that when Zerah is inserted into a woman, is it become, the way we described yesterday, does it become now like, so to say, part and parcel of her, or is it still viewed as a foreign entity that is not organic to her? Now, the Mishnah Mikvaos actually seems to be very clear that it is not considered part and parcel of her, but rather it's considered still property of the man who inseminated her. In any regard, what comes out over here is as follows. Look at what we just learned together, that the zera of a goy that was inserted into that of a Jewish woman and then comes out is going to be tahor. That's exactly what Rava says. Now, to be fair, what Rava says is that there's no machlokas. To be fair, again, the Mishnah we just learned together isn't bringing a machlokas. So this seems to corroborate that which Rava taught us, that everyone's in agreement that the Zav discharge, sorry, the Balkari discharge of a non-Jewish man is in fact Tahor Lagamrei. Now the Gemara, it seems to be a very good proof. My lap Tahor Lagamura lo Tahor Midaraisa Tamei Midarabanan. The Gemara deflects, the Gemara sidesteps the proof. The Gemara says, well, maybe the language of the Mishnah when it says Tahor just simply means Tahor on a Daraisa level. But Midarabanan could be Tamei. Could be. Okay. Nimthes, I'm Tashma, sorry. The Gemara now is going to be quoting, I think this is a Braisa. But it's going to be basically commenting on the Mishnah we just learned together. Nim says, "Amar shechva zera shayisrael tameh b'chol makom." The shechva zera of a Jew is tameh wherever it may be. Ve'afilu b'mei ovedes kochavim, even if it's located inside of a non-Jewish woman. V'shalav v'kochavim tahor b'chol makom. Ve'afilu b'mei yisraelis, and that zera of a non-Jew, regardless of where it is going to be. Is going to be tahor. Chutz mi mei raglayim. I'm sorry. Chutz mi mei raglayim shabbat, with exception to the urine. V'chitei ma'ach enami tahor midaraisa v'al tamei midarabanan. And why do you want to tell me that in this braisa we're going to do the same thing that we did with the Mishnah? That tahor over here just simply means tahor on a daraisa level, but not on a darabanan level. So atu mei raglayim. In our Gemara we have the word mei raglayim. Atu mei raglayim midaraisa mi mitame. Meraglaim is not going to be metame da araisa, and so therefore, obviously, when we're speaking tahara over here, we mean it on even on a derabban level. So after having learned the braisa, we can now say clearly the Mishnah and certainly the braisa is a proof to Rava that the keri discharge of a non-Jew is tahara lagamrei. What about the fact that there should be a gzera derabban and tuma? So that's covered by the zav discharge. Okay. Amar Mar. Shikra Zerusha Yisrael Tameh B'chol Makom Afilu B'meh Ovedes Kochavim. Tishtet Dabai Rav Papa. The Gemara says, okay, after having just learned the Mishnah together and the Braisa, the Gemara says, you know, there was a question that was asked by Rav Papa, and now, don't we know the answer? Well, first let's see the question of Rav Papa. Dabai Rav Papa, Shikra Zerusha Yisrael B'meh Ovedes Kochavim Ma'u. So Rav Papa asked the following question. I have the Zera of a Jew, and it was deposited within a non-Jewish woman, and he asked the question, what's the status regarding Tumat Tahara? What's Rav Papa asking? We just learned the Mishnah together. We just learned the Braisa together. Well, what's his question? So b'soch lamed lo kami ba'ilei le Rav Papa. So the Gemara says, if we're talking about within the first 3 days, Rav Papa wasn't asking a question. We know the Zera of a Jew is Tami regardless of where it is. We learned that in the Mishnah. We learned that in the Braisa. Rav Papa knows that. What Rav Papa was asking was the following. Ki kami ba'ilei le acher gimel. Ma Yisrael de daigi b'mitzvah chavu gufayu masriach. So the Gemara has such an interesting question. You know, physiologically, anatomically, we're all the same. But then there's one thing called stress and anxiety. And we Jewish people, Baruch Hashem, we excel in stress and anxiety. We're excellent at that. And there's a good reason why. So because we have a lot of responsibility. And so with that responsibility, right, the morning comes and the clock hits a certain time, and we know we got to get up. And okay, so obviously, you know, it's nice if we could just do it calmly, but with the responsibility comes stress and anxiety, and we have more of it. And perhaps what Rav Papa is wondering is that good. So that creates, now that stress and anxiety creates an actual physiological reaction. And it basically, maybe I'll say as follows. Maybe I'll say that when the zera of a Jewish man is in the Jewish woman, and she also experiences the same stress and anxiety, Baruch Hashem. So maybe over there, it's life expectancy. I'm talking about the zera. The life expectancy is 3 days. Fine. I understand that. But maybe within the non-Jewish woman, maybe it lasts longer. Maybe, right, she has
less stress,
less anxiety, and maybe it lasts longer in there. That was the question of Rav Papa. Rav Papa takes into the consideration, maybe, look, their diet is different, right? And maybe their body operates on a somewhat different scale because their diet is not the same as our diet. And so Rav Papa says, I don't know. Meaning, look, I could argue it either way. I simply don't know. Of course, Rav Papa knows our Mishnah in Mikvot and the Braisa, that the Zera of Yisrael is going to be tummy regardless of where it is. The only question that he was asking was just a question of, is there going to be a difference in terms of the life expectancy of the Zera inside of a Jewish woman as opposed to a non-Jewish woman? That was the only question that he was asking. Okay, now is a good time to recap. I know we didn't finish the daf. We'll pick it up from here tomorrow, but now is a good time to recap. Because honestly, that was just a lot of information. A lot, and I know. So let's quickly. Right. I know. Everyone got out of today. All right. Jews have a lot of stress. I know. I know. That's all we heard today. Jews have stress. Okay. Good. There was a lot more to the daf today. Okay. The Mishnah, the first Mishnah that we did today was regarding Benos Tzeduki. Benos Tzeduki is going to have the same status of Benos Kusi unless she goes against her parents and decides that she wants to follow the Misara. Now, Rav Yossi happens to disagree with that point, and he says that the default setting of a Benos Tzeduki is that she's going to be treated like a Bas Yisrael, unless we know otherwise, but that's not the Tanakhama's viewpoint. Okay, and that was our first discussion of today. And then we did our Mishnah on the top of Lamed Alamed Aleph. Now, the Mishnah, I'm just quickly going to recap. The Mishnah has three different issues. All three of them machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and all three of them Beis Shammai is more makel than that of Beis Hillel. Now, if you're wondering, that's strange. Beis Shammai is not normally makel. Normally, it's Beis Hillel that's makel, right. So that's correct. There are six times in Shas where Beis Hillel is more machmir than Beis Shammai. These are anomalies also, and they are located in Mishnayos and Eidos. And as you can guess correctly, our Mishnah is also going to be a Mishnah in Eidos, where all the chumras of Beis Hillel are recorded. And we just learned now three of them. So in today's daf, we went through half the times in Shas that Beis Hillel is more machmir than that of Beis Shammai. Okay, that's not a bad stat for the day. What are the three areas? So I'm just going to go over them outside. One, we talked about the blood of an Avodas Kochavim, a non-Jewish woman who has a discharge of blood. What is the tumah status of that blood? Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says tar lagamrei, and Beis Hillel says it's not going to be tar lagamrei, but it's going to be treated like her secretions. What is the story of her secretions? It's metame lach, but not metame yavish. The same thing with dam. It's metame lach, not metame yavish. And again, just quickly to recap, what's going on over here is that there's no tumah d'oraisa when it comes to a guy. However, the chachamim wanted there to be period separation between Jew and non-Jew, so therefore slapped a tumah d'rabbanan on the non-Jew. And just a question now of creating some sort of exclusion within the tumah so that we all know that it's tumah d'rabbanan, not tumah d'oraisa. That's issue number one. And the only machlok to be here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is how much of an exclusion are we creating in the Tumah so that people know this. Okay. Issue number two of the Mishnah, and that is a blood discharge that comes out of a Mitzara, but a Dam Tahor discharge that's coming out of a Mitzara. So again, the starting point is that we know that Mayanos are, for a Mitzara, are going to be an Avat Tumah, that we have a Drasha, that taught us that. We learned the Drasha earlier. The drasha is coming up again. We didn't get to it in the daf yet, but we're going to get to it. So we know that there is a that the mayanos of Mitzor are a source of tuma. It's just now a question of what about the dam? Dam is not a mayan, and I know it takes a long time to process. Took me a while to really get comfortable with this daf. A dam is not a mayan. It doesn't have the properties of mayan. It's not misagel v'yotze. It doesn't pool up and then come out, but rather it just simply comes out. And so therefore, it's not considered a mayan. Now, obviously, dam is going to be a source of tumah, but not because of mayan. So over here, when we're talking about dam mitzora, dam tahor of a mitzora, so it's not a mayan. So therefore, it's not tame through mayan. It's not dam tame because it's dam tahor. So therefore, according to Beis Shammai, it's tahor legamre. And what does Beis Hillel argue? Beis Hillel says it's going to be treated like a mayan. Beis Hillel agrees principally it's not a mayan, but he has a drasha, and we're going to see the drasha later tomorrow morning in Mirtz Hashem. That is issue number two. And issue number three is the dam yoledes. The dam yoledes, which we haven't even touched yet in the Gemara, that's going to be coming up in tomorrow's daf. The dam yoledes who did not tovel in the mikvah from day 7 to day 8 after having a boy. And the question between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is the following. What exactly creates the dam tahor experience from days 8 to day 40 after having a boy? Is it biyuma talia milsa? Is it just a function of days? That shita's Beit Shammai, which means now on day 8, the dam that comes out is dam tahor. That's it. It's dam tahor. So why is Beit Shammai and the Mishnah say that we're going to treat it like a mayan? That's a kanasta rabbanan. The rabbi slapped a penalty on her for not having tovel in the mikvah. She should have tovel in the mikvah. That is Shita's Beit Shammai, and Beis Hillel fundamentally disagrees. Beis Hillel says that no, that in order to go from Dam Tami to Dam Tahor, you need Betalia, Beyuma Talia, you need days, and B'mikvah Talia, and you need to tovel on the mikvah. And unless you do both, she is still Tamei Amida Araisa.